Welcome to So-and-So, brought to you by Bernina, Made to Create. I'm Meg Goodman, and you're about to enjoy a casual conversation with a special member of the sewist community, a conversation about how they got started, what inspires them, what excites them, and their connection to this community. Our guest today is Corinne Wright, an onset tailor, wardrobe specialist, entrepreneur, and fashion pundit. With 20 years in the fashion industry, she is a style enthusiast who brings a wealth of knowledge and experience to both her clients and budding fashion professionals. Corinne is the owner of Style Haven LLC, a full-service boutique, and her work has been featured on the 60th Annual Grammy Awards, The Today Show, Dance Moms, Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, Club Monaco, Ann Taylor, Fashion Rocks, and America's Got Talent. She has worked on Broadway and toured with several well-known entertainers. Hi, Corinne. Welcome to So-and-So.
Hello, Meg. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. We have so much to talk about today, and I just want to jump right in. And you've achieved so much in your career, but how did it all start for you? When and how did you learn to sew?
Oh, well, sewing, my mom sewed before I was born. And she said that when I was born, that's when she stopped because I was getting into everything. So I guess it was a natural thing. Mm-hmm. But in middle school, I took a home ec class. And that's when I first remember touching a sewing machine for real. And I loved it. We were to make a pair of shorts, and I made a pair of shorts, a matching scrunchie, and a tank top. So it was something that I really liked to do and wanted to pursue it more. I didn't know that I was going to be a career, but I wanted to learn more. So I would make my dolls' clothing, my Barbies and my Cabbage Patch Kids. They all had custom clothing. Now, it didn't always get sewn on a sewing machine. Sometimes it was stapled together, you know, however I could figure out how to put it on them. But the foundation was there of making clothing. So that's how I started out with the love of sewing.
And it just progressed from there as a hobby?
Yes. So it progressed. So I went to high school in Mount Vernon, New York. And we had a vocational department where you can take, there were things like cosmetology, fashion design, photography, dentistry. There were all types of horticulture. We had a whole vocational department. And I didn't know if I wanted to go into fashion design or cosmetology. So as a freshman, I took personal beauty, which was the like introduction class for cosmetology, and fashion textile, which was the introduction for the fashion program. And I loved fashion textile. So I stayed through that program, went through the fashion program. And this is how I officially learned how to sew on an industrial machine, which was lots of fun, lots of sewing over my finger. now I have steel fingers because of that. But I learned, I mean, the things I look back now and realize that I learned in high school were so invaluable. I learned how to drape and draft and sew, like in high school. That was amazing. So I knew that I wanted a career in fashion design. I only knew fashion design. I didn't know any other career. So a fashion designer was what I wanted to be. I went on to college for fashion design at Norfolk State in Virginia. And when I came out of school, I couldn't find a job because I really didn't intern. I was in Virginia. My internship was like at a local store. I was working with a designer who I was like her cutter. So I didn't really get into the industry and intern. So when I came back to New York after college, I couldn't find a job in the industry. And so I decided that I needed to go back to school and so that I can get an internship because I couldn't get an internship without being in school. So I enrolled in FIT in their continuing, which is the Fashion Institute of Technology in New York City. And so that I can and I enrolled in their fashion styling program. And this is when I started to realize that there were other careers other than fashion design in the fashion industry. And I took fashion styling, and that's how my career in this journey started, if that makes any kind of sense to you.
It's been a journey. Now, did you get that internship?
I did. So my first internship was with DNR Magazine, which is now defunct, but it's a trade publication, and it is the men's version of WWD. So I go to Fairchild to get an internship. And when you go to Fairchild Publishing for the internship program, they had all of the publications there and they all spoke. So there was W Magazine, there was WWD, there was a magazine called Details in Jane. I'm really dating myself because some of these people are no longer around, but they were big in the 2000s. That sounds crazy that was so long ago. So they all got up and spoke. I mean, I wanted to work at W Magazine. That's the biggest fashion magazine out. So I go to interview with each of the magazines. And when I get to DNR, the editor said, well, you can go and work at W Magazine, but you're only going to be like photocopying and getting people coffee. He said, but if you come to DNR, you're going to get, we're smaller, but we have a big impact in the fashion industry. You're going to get experience. And I'm so glad that he said that, because I went to DNR and the experience that I got was just amazing. I was on set for all the photo shoots. I did all the go-sees with the editor, with the models, all the cover shoots. Even for one of the photo shoots, I brought all the props from my house, and my aunt's dog was in the photo shoot.
It's a family thing.
Yes. So it was really like, I would not have gotten that experience at W because it was such a big publication that the interns did intern work. So I was doing work that an assistant stylist would be doing, and was happy about it. I got to go to the fashion week, to the fashion shows. So that was my intern. That was my first internship. And it actually ended in me getting some freelance work from them because everybody was off in Paris doing fashion week and they needed somebody to cover a trade show. And so they sent me to a trade show and I got my first paying gig out of that, which was really cool.
That is, you know, you've said, and I find this interesting because of all that you've done, that sewing is not your favorite thing to do. Tell us more about that.
So I used to say that I hate sewing. Hate is such a harsh word.
That's strong.
But it is. It is such a harsh word. I am very good at sewing. It comes naturally to me. I'm blessed that way. But I wanted to be a fashion designer. And I knew that I needed to know how to draw, but I didn't have to be an artist. I needed to know how to sew, but I didn't have to be a sewist. So that was always in the back of my mind. Like, I don't really want to sit down and sew these garments. So I always said that I don't like sewing. And it wasn't until maybe 5 to 7 years ago that I realized that it wasn't that I didn't like sewing. It was the type of sewing that I didn't like. And I'm not a big fan of building garments. I want to build garments when I feel like building garments. Like, I don't want that as a job. I don't want to sit down and have to build garments from top to bottom. If I feel inspired that day, if I have a great piece of fabric or a pattern, yeah, I'll do it, but I don't want to have to do it. But what I do love doing is tailoring. Mm-hmm. And what I love about it is that it's fast, it challenges my brain, and then I'm done with it. So I do it. And then I move on to something new because then I get bored. So I move on to something new. And I like the idea, especially with on-set tailoring, that I'm walking into something new every day. I don't necessarily know if I'm going to be sewing leather or silk. are, you know, denim. I don't know what I'm really going to be doing when I walk in. I don't know if I'm going to just be taking in a waist or just or reconstructing a whole outfit. And I like the thrill of that. And when I found out my niche and that that's what I like, I love sewing now.
You made it fit what you like to do.
Yeah.
My next question is your favorite thing to sew? You were talking about tailoring, working with different fabrics, creating kind of a surprise every day. What are you going to be challenged with? In the tailoring, is there anything that you really love to do or any special techniques that you like?
So, and this actually happened, I kind of knew that I love to do this, but I just did a music video this past weekend, mm-hmm. and I got a chance to reconstruct a pair of pants, and I realized, and you would have thought somebody gave me $1 million. I was so happy to do it. The stylist said, I have a pair of pants I need you to tailor. Can I give them to you before the shoot so that you can start on them? I said, okay. I didn't know, again, what I was going to be doing. And I meet with him, and he has a pair of pants. He has these two pair of pants and a third pair of pants. He said, I want to marry these two pair of pants together, but I want them to look like this third pair of pants. And this third pair of pants fit the artist perfectly. So now I have to make the pair of pants, they were a pair of like camouflage, like army fatigue pants, mm-hmm. fit like a slender, wide leg denim pair of pants. And he wanted me to design it, like, you know, put the fabrics together. And my eyes like lit up and I was like, I'm excited. And I went back to my studio and worked all night reconstructing the pants. The next day, we get on set, try them on the artist. They fit perfectly. Like, I didn't have to do one alteration on them. And he loved them. And I realized I like reconstructing. Like, that is what I love to do. So that technique, like, if you give me a pair of pants and say, just make it into something new, that's what I like doing.
And you did it in less than 24 hours.
Oh, yeah. It was 4 hours.
Oh, wow.
4 hours. And I mean, that was just such a confirmation. And I know it's not going to happen like that all the time. But the fact that he put the pants on and they fit perfectly in everyone. Like when we walked to set, everybody said, those pants are bad. I love those pants. And I was just in the inside, just so happy because it was like, you did that. And this is what you like to do. So,
you know, it's talking about the impressive things that you did in the music video. You also have a really impressive resume of the places you've practiced your craft. It's been TV. It's been on Broadway. How did you get started doing this?
Oh, right. So I think we should go back to my internship.
Mm-hmm.
While I was interning, I realized that I wanted to be a costume designer. Like, I want to do costume design work. And in order to do costume design, you have to be in a union. It's a union gig. And so I was trying to figure out how I'm going to get into the union. In New York, the wardrobe union, it's not the costume design union, but it's the wardrobe union that covers like dressers, stitchers that work on Broadway and TV and film. That's Local 764. And so I figured I would go that route, get in there, meet people and move around. But how do I get into the wardrobe union? In order to get into the union, you have to work a union gig, but you can't work a union gig without being in a union.
Uh-huh.
Great.
Great.
How does this work?
Nice challenge.
Yeah. So I saw an ad for Ailey 2, which is the junior company to the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, which is union. So the ad was for a wardrobe supervisor for Ailey 2. So my plan was to go ahead and do the non-union job with Ailey 2, meet the people from Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, and then move up. And that's exactly what happened. So I got the job as the wardrobe supervisor for Ailey 2. I, again, was fortunate because I was still living at home with my parents and I could afford to work this job with Ailey 2 that paid pennies at the time, because it was more like a training job than anything. So I was able to, as long as I could pay my car note, I was happy. So I went on with Ailey 2. I worked with them for 6 months. And while I was working with Ailey 2, the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater does a New York season in New York, and they hired me to come work with them during their season in New York. I worked every single day. I said, put me on every day so that I can get my 30 days of working with a union company so that I can join the union. And that's exactly what I did. I joined the union, and then someone in the wardrobe department in the first company left, and they hired me. And I joined the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater. I toured with them for 9 years. We toured international and domestic. And we're gone about 8 months out of the year. So we're on the road all the time. It was a great experience traveling the world, doing wardrobe. But I wanted to come home and live in my house, you know, and have a life and, you know, attend weddings and see people be born and all of that great stuff that normal people do. So I came home and tried to find a job on Broadway. It was a little tough at first because no one knew me, but eventually I got in. I started stitching and dressing. And dressing on Broadway is when you go to a show and you see the costumes on the performers, there are people backstage putting those costumes on performers. And we do quick changes. We have tracks, which means that we have, it's kind of like choreography backstage. So there's, I'm here, I need to be on stage right at this time. I need to be on stage left at this time. And everything kind of works like a machine backstage. And you're carrying clothes for your performer. You're getting them in. You're doing your quick changes, zipping them up and getting them on stage. Sometimes we're doing it on stage in the dark and you guys don't even see it. So the magic of theater. So I started dressing and stitching on Broadway. I dibble and dabble in TV sometimes, but I mainly stay on Broadway for the most part. And then on-set tailoring started with a friend of mine, who's a stylist, telling me that she has a friend who has an alteration agency. And I kept saying, what is an alteration agency? Finally, I called the woman and she explained to me that they do alterations for e-commerce. So when you see like Ann Taylor, the Children's Place, any of the clothing stores you go into the mall or online, those, the clothing that they're wearing, there's a tailor back there stitching it because a lot of times they're samples and the samples don't fit or they're not the correct samples. Like the sample might come in wrong, like too short or too wide. So we're on set to make sure that everything fits correctly. And doing all of the alterations. And I was like, wow, you get paid to do that? Like, it just blew my mind. When I was styling back at DNR, we were clipping things. But now there's tailors on set. Like, I go on set for magazine covers and do all of the alterations. And I was like, oh my gosh. So I joined the tailoring agency. And so that's where I do all of my e-commerce work, sewing for, I mean, every e-commerce brand that you can think of. And then the celebrity situation happened with, while I was on an e-commerce job, I saw somebody that I knew from another job. And it was Fashion Week. And we like rekindled, we exchanged numbers. And that night she called me and said, hey, I have a job, but I'm too busy. It's Fashion Week. I need you to go on this job. And it was for a performer, and I went on the job, and it was great. It was the first time I'd done a celebrity. That stylist enjoyed me. She passed my name to another stylist, who passed my name to another stylist, and then my celebrity tailoring career began. And so a lot of what I do is from networking, from being at the right place at the right time, and going on a job and doing the job great so that that person passes my name on to another person. So that's pretty much how, I mean, in Broadway, in TV, in on-set tailoring, that's how all of it works, is you being there and being the best person that you can be, because then other people are always watching and they're always passing your name. There hasn't been one job that I've done that I just gave somebody my resume and they just hired me. It's always been word of mouth.
Really good words of advice for people who are interested in getting involved in this. Now, you were talking about the dressers, and it sounds like that's quite a choreographed event that goes on behind the scenes that we never see. And it sounds like you just kind of walked into this opportunity. For those who are interested, how do you learn how to do something like that?
So dressing, honestly, is not like it's something that I don't want to say anybody can do, but anybody can do. If you can get around, like you, because it is physical, you have to carry baskets of clothing. The theaters are, again, out front when you're sitting in the lobby, in the seats on Broadway, it's nice and big and spacey. Backstage is rather tight a lot of times. There's a lot of really steep stairs. So it is physical. So if you can't, like, you know, get up and downstairs fast, I'll tell you, I work at Wicked at the Gershwin Theater. It's the largest theater on Broadway. So we do have a lot of room, but the distance between stage right and stage left is a New York City block. Mm-hmm. So if I'm on stage right and I need to get to stage left really fast, I have to run a New York City block to get to the other side of the stage. So
you're in good shape.
and I'm afraid, because Broadway has been closed and we've been in COVID. I said, we're all going to go back and not know how to do our jobs because we can't move as fast because we're not used to doing that running.
Sure.
And there's been plenty of times when I've been on the wrong side of the stage and needed to get somewhere really fast and you had to run. So that part, you do have to be physically able to do it. But if you can follow directions, mm-hmm. then you can be a dresser, because it's all about following directions. You get a track when you come into the show. If it's a show that's already been running, the track is already made. But if it's a brand new show that you're building, you're often part of building the track. Mm-hmm. I have never built a track because I've come into all shows that were already up and running. But so I can't speak on that. But you get a track when you come in. And you'll learn the track. Like when you go in, there is a dresser that already does the track, and they'll teach you the track and show you where you need to be, you know, where you need to be. You'll follow that person. And then depending on the difficulty of the track, you might follow them twice, and then you'll get to do the track twice. A nice way, if you don't want to jump right into Broadway, is community theater. Almost every city has a community theater program that, you know, that are, there's local plays or even these plays that are touring, stop into. And that's how you can get experience in dressing as well, is going and working at your community theater.
Lots of good advice. I'm sure there are several people out there who might be taking this opportunity to try something new. I do want to talk about your shop, Corinne Style Haven. How do you determine the styles and lines you carry?
So it's stuff that I love.
Why not?
we started off when I first opened the store. I started online, actually, selling indie brands, so like little, small designers. But then when I opened the physical store, we went into vintage. I love thrift. I love vintage clothing. Mm-hmm. And it was something really great. People loved it. They loved the store. It wasn't like a thrift store where you had to dig through because it was curated. We definitely had pieces that I picked out. Because I sew, I was able to sometimes what I call restyling, change them into other things. Like if I found a beautiful dress, but the dress fabric on the top was not very good, I'll turn it into a skirt. you know, that type of stuff. So we had some really great pieces. The only problem was that vintage and thrift is one of a kind. So sizing, we couldn't, you know, if somebody came in and they needed a different size, that it wasn't there. So that's when I started buying vendor clothing with multiple sizes, but it still fell in the line like thrift and vintage-esque clothing. So that's our focus, is having, we have great dresses. We call it the best little dress shop. We have great dresses that fit. I love free size clothing that fit, you know, from size 2 to 4 to a size 16, like one dress. And then showing people how to wear pieces more than one way. That's like my thing. I love like to buy a dress and then show you how you can wear it as a top, how you can wear it as a dress, how you can wear it with leggings or a jacket. You know, I like that type of stuff. So versatile dressing is something that we focus on as well.
So it's not just buying the piece of clothing. It sounds like it's a styling experience coming into your shop.
Yes. We have, I don't know, I don't think we spoke about it, but I have a fashion truck. I don't have a physical store. So I have an online store and then I have a fashion truck. And so the fashion truck is a 24 foot, like a, think of a, like a FedEx truck.
Sure.
And it's a 24 foot truck and you walk up into it. It's a boutique. It's a traveling boutique. So I like go to street fairs and festivals and it's called the Style Haven Experience. So when you walk into the store, it's a whole experience. You're not just coming in to shop. You're coming in to a styling experience.
You know, I know you're located on the East Coast. We may have to try to talk you into making a nationwide tour with this this truck.
It's funny because I spoke with my mom and we want to do that. It just takes a lot of planning because like, where do we park? But it's something I really would love to do is just drive cross country with it.
That sounds amazing. What are your biggest challenges with your shop?
Biggest challenges. I would say social media, well, for me, is standing out, you know, standing out from everybody else on social media. I didn't grow up in a time with social media, so it's not my first thing to run to. So I kind of get lost in the sauce when it comes to being on social media. So one thing I did is I hired a social media manager because I knew that that was something that was really challenging for me. And she creates posts for me. We collaborate and figure out like what pieces we're going to talk about. She tells me, okay, I need you to shoot these type of videos or I need you to provide me with these type of pictures. And that has really helped me because, I mean, I was lost when it comes to social media. It's not something that comes natural to me. So I feel like that is probably my biggest challenge when it comes to Style Haven. And that's both with the shop and with tailoring. It took me a really long time to post like videos on sewing because I didn't think people wanted to know. Like, you know, I've done on Fridays, I post videos on beginner sewing tips. And I've gotten so much feedback on the tips. And I'm like, you guys wanted to know that stuff? That's silly stuff to me because it's simple things. But I forget that people are learning, and especially now. And so they want to know those simple tips. So the social media is a huge challenge for me that I'm getting there.
Sure. Getting there is the whole point. Corinne, you've toured with some pretty well-known performers. Do you have any stories you can share with us about this?
Sure. One of my favorite stories, and it's something that I post on social media around Christmas time because that's when it happened, is I was on tour with Mariah Carey for her well, it started off, I did the end of Sweet Fantasy tour. And then we went into the All I Want for Christmas, her holiday tour. And I came on as her tailor and her dresser. So we get to New York at the Beacon Theater, and we're doing the holiday tour. And she's on stage. Now, I'll set the scene. When I am dressing her, her quick change booth is on stage, like off to the side on stage. And it's pretty tight. There's a hair person, a makeup person, and then myself. And so there's three people, including her. So it's a pretty tight space. And so that I don't like poke her or poke somebody else, I don't have like tools on my body. Like I don't have scissors and needle and thread on my body. We have a bag hanging up in the corner. So just so that scene is set. She's on stage and she's performing and somebody runs over and says, we need you to go on stage. Something's wrong with Mariah's dress. But the person who says this doesn't tell me what's wrong with her dress. I can't see what's wrong with her dress. And I'm like, okay. So I run over to the bag to grab some tools. And the first thing I grab are some safety pins, which I think I'm grabbing a handful of safety pins. But when I got out on the stage, I realized I had two safety pins. So I run out there and thank God it was her strap on her dress. The strap broke on her dress and I was able to link the two safety pins together and then connect it to her dress to keep it up. But I had to do this with the whole crowd looking at me and with Mariah freestyle singing, and I couldn't hear a word because I had no in-ear or anything in. I couldn't understand what she was saying. And then she like puts the mic in my face and I'm like, hey, like, I don't know what's going on. I'm nervous as all, but I have to play cool because like, I can't be out there looking crazy. So it was the most nerve-wracking thing in the world. And a fan recorded it. So my brother actually saw it and was like, oh my God, look at this. So when I watched it back, she's singing and she's saying, I didn't know this was going to happen to me and neither did Corinne. Like she's saying my name and then she's like, how are you doing today? And I'm like, hey, because I couldn't understand what she was saying. So I fix her up. She does a shimmy and then I go away. And it was to me like, that was an epic moment. I mean, this is Mariah Carey.
Epic indeed. Yes.
It was an epic moment. I was able to save the day, but I was so nervous. So nervous.
Now, is that video out there for people to see?
It is out. It's on my Instagram. It's out there. I posted it. It happened about 4 years ago now. I posted every year because I was like, you know what? Every Christmas time, this is going to get posted. So it's definitely on my Instagram. And you can see it. It's out there. And it did go viral, but it was just so funny because, I mean, in the video, I look so cool. Like I have no stress in the world. I was so nervous because I'm like, I have two safe. And the dress that she was wearing was about 20 pounds. It was an all metal dress. So there was no sewing that was going to be involved in that. Mm-hmm. And again, I didn't know what was wrong with this dress. And so that was God. Like, all you need is these two safety pins. And she comes back to the quick change when she said, I'm so sorry for calling you back. Because she called me back out later to check it. And by then I was like, okay, I'm cool now. But she's like, I'm so sorry. I was like, it's okay. That's what I'm here for.
Sure.
Don't do that again.
That's a great story and absolutely worth posting every year at Christmas. Absolutely. Corinne, I was thinking about when you were telling us about how you started to sew that first outfit that you made with the shorts and the top and the scrunchie. Do you still have that?
I don't. The earliest thing that I have that I made is my prom dress. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I did. I remember it was a polka dot pair, a blue and white polka dot shorts. I remember that. Mm-hmm. But the earliest piece that I've made was my prom dress that I still own. Mm-hmm. Is my prom dress. And that was a senior in high school.
Those are good memories.
Yes.
I've asked you a lot of questions today, and this has just been a wonderful conversation. Is there any question I didn't ask you that you wish I had?
Maybe I do. How do I do it all? Because I do a lot of things. I do, I work on Broadway. I tailor. I have a store. So like, how do I juggle it all? I get that question a lot.
So how do you do it all then? That's great.
pre-COVID, my days would consist, sometimes I didn't have crazy days. Sometimes I just had to go into Broadway. So as on Broadway, I am a swing dresser. So I don't work full time. So I will say that because I don't want people to think, oh, my gosh, she's a superwoman. Like, you know, I'm just doing all of this stuff. I'm a swing dresser, and a swing dresser is like parts. So I fill in. What happens is there are full time people that work on the show. So they take vacation, they get sick, that type of stuff. I come in. So the reason I swing dress is that, one, I get to say yes and no to jobs. So they can call me up and say, hey, can you work January 1st through the 4th? And if I have nothing going on, I can say, sure. But if I have things going on, I can say no and not be like penalized of not getting work again. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. And that's that way I'm able to do my, you know, tailoring and run the store. The second thing is back to me, how my brain functions and not wanting to do the, liking to be challenged and not wanting to do the same thing over and over again. Broadway is very repetitive. They do 8 shows a week. It's the same show. Like literally once you learn a show and you're doing it over and over again, you can probably do it with your eyes closed. Like, you know, walk with your eyes because everybody is choreographed. So nobody's going to be in your way. Like you can probably do the show with your eyes closed. I would go crazy if I had to do that 8 shows a week. So swinging helps me challenge my mind because one day I can be at Wicked dressing witches. And then the next day I can be at To Kill a Mockingbird dressing, you know, some putting a ham on Celia. So, I mean, Celia, that's a real actor's name on Scout. So, you know, it challenges my brain to work. And that is one thing that I love to do. So I swing on Broadway. That way I can pick and choose work. And then sometimes I do what they call day work, which I come in the daytime and I do, steam and prep the costumes for the evening show or so. So that's how I work on Broadway. And then tailoring is kind of the same thing where job gigs come and go. So you'll say like, okay, this gig, sometimes a gig is one day, sometimes it's a week, but it's scheduled. So I know that that's happening. And then the third thing is the store. And the reason I have the mobile truck is so that, again, it can all work with my schedule. I don't have a store where I have to be there, you know, 5 days or 7 days a week where I have to be in a store. I have the truck so that I can do a specific events. So it's scheduled out. So all of my work is kind of scheduled out. And everything falls in a particular pattern. So pre-COVID, sometimes 3 things fell on one day. Sometimes I was tailoring early in the morning, doing e-commerce. Then I would go to Broadway and do an evening show. And in between, I was doing something for Style Haven, whether it was shipping out orders or changing the website. So my days would be packed, but then there would be days where I had only one gig. So it works out. It's definitely something that it takes a lot of planning. I have I use a calendar where I write everything down. Like I don't trust my phone to hold my appointments. I write everything down and being organized because I could be at the wrong, if I tried to go off my brain, I'll be in the wrong place at the wrong time. I'm not supposed to be here.
So you went old school on your scheduling, but it works. And you know, it's, you've you've created a great, great life doing what you love to do. And this has been a lot of fun today, Corinne. I really want to thank you for sharing your story with us today. And I'm sure that some of our listeners would love to reach out to you and learn more. What's the best way for them to do that?
So the best way, you can always follow on Instagram at Style Haven. That's my personal, where I do a lot of posts about tailoring. You can see that Mariah Carey video. You can see my cat, Missy, and my niece. Mm-hmm. So that's Style Haven. And the store is Shop Style Haven, and that's all about the boutique work. So you can always follow there. You can DM me. I will respond because I'm not so big that I can't. Mm-hmm. And then also you can email me at hello@thecorinnewright.com. And if you go to thecorinnewright.com, that's where you can see a lot of my tailoring work. You can see my resume. But you can always email me there and I'll respond to that too.
That's great. And we're going to look for that national tour of the Style Haven truck.
We'll get that together. Meg, you're going to have to coordinate it.
Yeah, we'll work on that. We'll make that happen. Corinne, this has been fun. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it. Another story about someone just like you. Someone for whom sewing or quilting is so much more than a hobby, it's a way of life, a connection to something bigger. If you know someone you think has an outstanding story, a story that should be shared on this podcast, please drop me a note to emmygoodman@theflintrock.com and put "You should hear their story" in the subject line. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform, and visit our website, soandsopodcast.com, for more information about today's and all of our guests. That's SEWANDSOpodcast.com. And finally, I want to thank Bernina for making this program possible. I'm Meg Goodman, and I look forward to you joining us next time on So and So.